Notice file.
Context, if you will, give me that which is mine. He said, give me the portion that falleth unto me. And in Luke 15, he went out. He lived his life in riotous living. And I know I preach this here. I preach this everywhere. I'd preach it every day if I could. The Bible said there was a certain man. It's an absolute. It's in the parable. He said a certain man. God knows who he is. God knows the situation. He had two sons. The Word of God said this, verse 12 of Luke 15, the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. He took everything he had coming to him. He took his upbringing. He took his raising. He took his substance. And he went and he lived riotously. He squandered it on foolishness. And so many have gone out. The safety of their home, the safety of the Father, the safety of the church, the safety of their marriage, and they've gone out foolishly and lived riotously.
Yes, sir.
And they all say, give me that I may go. They want the blessings of their parents. They want the blessings of the church. They want the blessings of everyone. Out of God's will at best, missing what God has for them, damned forever at worst. Why? Because they wanted what they wanted. And nobody was going to tell them. Let me just tell you the reason I preach this. If I've preached this 100 times, I've preached it once. It's because that was me. Raised in church. Raised under a King James Bible, raised in holiness, raised where I was taught, raised where I was instructed, raised where I was shown the good things of God, raised in a clean home. We lived in poverty, but we were too poor to know it. My mother always put food on the table. My mother sewed up my clothes. She'd glue the soles on my bobos and my fish heads. She'd make sure I got to school on time. She watched out for me, cared for me, was a good mother to me.
Amen.
But that wasn't enough. I was not satisfied with what God had provided for me. And the problem that many have is they just can't be content with what they have. He said, I want more. So what did God do? Gave him more. And then took it away. And can I say it's a mercy of God that God would take it away from you.
Amen.
It's the mercy of God that he'd bring you low.
Amen.
In a hope that you might look up.
Amen.
Man's flat on his back with his back broke, staring at the ceiling, and coming to himself. There's an opportunity to come to himself. I've been at the nursing homes and had people curse me. They're on their deathbeds. I've had them curse me in wheelchairs. Had them curse me because they've lost their ability to speak. And they've cursed. I had a man one day with his TTY device, and he's cursing me as he's typing in, telling me to get out of his room. Reading books this thick, intellectual. Man obviously had a great mind, but had lost the ability to speak. And I started speaking of Christ. He cursed me. And from his calamity, he cursed. I've seen him on the streets in many years in the ministry with the homeless and the rescue missions. I've seen him despondent, and I've seen them curse and mock the name of Jesus Christ. I've seen them without anything, and yet they curse and spit in the face of God. The very God that could give them life. The very God that would bring them out of their calamity. The very God that would set them up in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. And they've cursed him and mocked him and scoffed at his name.
Right.
He went out because he wasn't content with what he had.
Right.
And by the way, young ladies, this could be you too.
Yep. Yes, sir.
I just need something more.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if you're not satisfied with what you have, you are not right with God. You can just say amen on that.
Amen.
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 Changing your location, changing your position, changing what you have is not going to benefit you one bit.
No help.
And watch people say, well, if I just maybe move here and we'll have this blessing and that blessing. No, if you can't be content where you are, if you can't be content single, you're going to be miserable in your marriage.
Right.
You can't be content in your marriage, you're going to be miserable in your divorce.
How about that one?
Not content with your wife, you'll go destroy some other woman. Amen, amen. By the way, I'm not speaking tonight, no offense. Came here to preach.
Yeah.
Just feel like preaching.
Yeah.
I've watched a generation underneath my ministry die and go to hell. Is it my fault? Probably. But every one of them will stand before God and give an account of themselves because they were miserable in the lives that they had created for themselves without God. And whether it's religious or non-religious. I've said in this pulpit many times, I watched the young people at Youth Week come through, and we prayed for many the other night in prayer meeting. I've watched about the dozens come through. They taste that little bit of goodness. They see the rejoicing. They see the joy in the saints of God, and they find there's something they want more than that. And they go out and they live riotously. Young ladies today, not even 30 years old, been here at Youth Week, divorced, remarried, divorced. Children out of wedlock, raised in the house of God. Some of them preachers' daughters. Got some gay dance and march and gay pride praise. Preacher's daughter. They didn't like what they saw. They weren't content with such things as they had. I tell you why a young man a lot of times will go out, he'll blame his parents for his misery. Anybody know who Peggy Koval is? Nobody. You know why? Well, you never heard of her. Peggy Koval was a missionary's daughter in the Philippines. And the Japanese invaded. They came into Manila and the school where her parents were, the mission school. They took her parents and held them along with her and her siblings and other family members and Americans. Her father would not leave when they warned Japan is going to attack. You need to leave. He would not leave. He said, we have a mission here. And after several days of trying to reason and argue, finally the Japanese commander pulled his sword out, took them out to the flagpole, tied her parents to the flagpole, and cut their heads off. Peggy Koval was able, because she was young enough, by mercy, to be shipped to Hawaii and finally returned to the United States. She went to Colorado. There in Colorado, in a home where she stayed with other women, they were close to a Japanese prisoner of war camp. And so she volunteered to do first aid and medical and to help feed them and things. And she would go down to the prisoner of war camp, the same people that had killed her parents.
Yeah.
And she would minister to the men there. One of those men, he was a Yamaguchi, and I'm not sure which one, but he spoke of being shot down and before he could commit harakiri, which is to disembowel himself, as the manner of the Japanese was, he was taken captive by the Americans. And he was devastated. He would not give his life for his emperor. And he wrote and spoke multiple times in his writings of this American girl who would come and would teach us and tell us of forgiveness. and something he had never heard of. To him and the Japanese, it was revenge. There is no such thing as revenge, as it forgives. It was revenge. I'm going to avenge those that have hurt me. And when he spoke with Mitsuo Fujita, he told him, this young lady who had this idea that you wouldn't have to take vengeance for slights, you wouldn't have to take vengeance for hurts, you wouldn't have to try to hurt those that hurt you, but through a man who had forgiven her, you also could learn to forgive. He could not wrap his mind around that. But Fujita did. During the Japanese war crimes trial, somebody in a prison slipped up, and Mr. Yamaguchi, the pilot, was able to get a hold of a large enough knife to go ahead and finally disembowel himself. And he perished, never finding forgiveness. They killed her parents in front of her, took her prisoner, abused her. And she learned how to forgive.
Amen.
And there's folks in this room that can't forgive little slights and indifferences and hurts.
Right.
You say you don't know my upbringing, you don't know my upbringing.
Yeah. Right.
You don't know anybody else's upbringing. There's men I know been horribly abused, vilely abused, women I know who were perversely abused as children. Yet they found the forgiveness in the person of Jesus Christ. Without fail, I don't know one of them that still blames their parents for the problems they had. Without fail, I don't know one of them that still points their mom and dad and says, "You're the ones that did this to me. You're the ones that hurt me. You're the ones that wounded me." There's a thing called forgiveness in the Word of God.
Amen.
Young lady testified to us just recently. And she realized, came to the realization that if she could forgive others, Jesus Christ could forgive her. And she said the next verse that came to her mind is, "Our sins and iniquities will be remembered no more."
Amen.
He washed us in his own blood, gave us the forgiveness of sins. And then we learned to forgive others. So many folks discontented because of their upbringing, bitter with their parents, bitter with the things that took place in their life. I got a dear friend of mine, lives very near our home, a dear brother in Christ. He was raised in foster homes, raised in all kinds of foster homes, but he speaks of, I believe he's a 10-year-old boy. He was with a foster family. They took him down to the house of God. And he said there, in the plight of his life and the vileness of the abuse that he had faced and all the awfulness that he dealt with in foster homes, he said for the first time in his life, he saw the glorious light of Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, "I want that. I want that light. Amen. I want that man, Jesus Christ."
Amen.
He said he went back to the foster homes and the abuse continued and the vileness continued. And finally, he got with the family, was adopted. They took him down to the house of God. At the age of about 15 years old in the house of God, he realized there's a God in heaven who could take that hurt away and take that pain away and give him forgiveness of those that had hurt him and forgive those that had wounded him, forgive those that had destroyed him. And he said he walked the altar there in the church of God, amen, back when they used to preach, and got gloriously saved by the marvelous grace of God. He found forgiveness in all his hurt.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
He didn't have to blame anybody else.
Right.
And then some of you raised in good homes.
Yep.
Some of you raised in Christian homes. I didn't say perfect, I said Christian homes. And all you can see is the fault of your parents, the fault of their life, the destruction of your family. You can't see beyond that to realize there's a God in heaven who take that hurt away and take that pain away. Seat you in heavenly places.
Hallelujah.
He went out. And by the way, that'll preach an entire message in itself. He went out. I told a man recently that I love dearly. He's probably listening. I told him recently, I said, brother, you need to go back to the place where you lost contact with God.
Amen. Amen.
You know where some of you need to be? God. Where you lost contact with God.
Come on.
Right.
Not going to point anybody out, but Stephen, I told you in Samantha's testimony, that beautiful U-Haul. You say, how did God use a U-Haul? You don't want to know.
Amen.
To put him in the house of God. God in his mercy. God in his love. To seat us in the house of God. I don't recommend this, but God used a girl to get me back in church. Got into conviction. Got troubled about my soul. God saved me after attending the house of God with all the wrong motives. You know why? The grace of God hath appeared to all men.
Amen.
Yes. All. When he spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. Now all of a sudden, it's not what he thought it was going to be. He began to be in want. The liquor's run out. The dope's run out. The food is running out. There's a mighty famine in that far country. And he begins to be in want. He had everything he needed. But he thought he needed more. He was not content with such things as he had. And he said, if I could just have a little bit more. If I could just have something more. Give me what's coming to me. I'll make my way in this world. And when he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And notice this, and no man gave unto him. I believe, that's why the word of God speaks, was I'm old and yet young, I got backwards every. I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. No man would give to him. So what did he do? It didn't say the corn. It didn't say the silage. He fain would fill his belly with the husks. You ever eat corn husks? You ever get full on corn husks? You ever eat straw? Not much there, is there? But you don't eat grass. Some of you smoked it for years. Neither one benefits you at all.
Amen.
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 Some of you may still ain't benefiting you. Well, I got distracted. I'm sorry. Well, the doctor told me to.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Doctors tell people to change their gender, too. You listen to them?
Sure. Come on.
Go on.
Tell you to kill babies, too. You listen to them? You ever fill your belly with corn husks? He's down there fainting. Oh, I'm good. Yeah, boys, I'm okay over here. Hey, the hog pen's a wonderful place. That pride, buddy. That pride got him. I'll act like everything's okay. Nobody's giving me anything. Now, listen, I don't want to be too carnal. You know, Mr. Darling said, he said, well, don't take charity. We won't take charity. We won't take charity. You know, people that won't take charity are usually about the stingiest people in the world.
Right. That's the truth.
People that can't accept something with joyfulness and gladness are usually about the stingiest that's people it. You'll meet. I've learned that over the years.
Yeah.
I've learned people to try to be kind and try to just say thank you. I told a lady, she's our dear friend, told her in Philadelphia one day, she handed me a $20 bill, and me and her used to cut up. She's the one interrupting me preaching when I was done with the mafia. She goes, ah, come on, get off it already. While I was preaching. Me and her became good friends before she passed away. My wife and I got to go see her. And she told us this story while we were sitting. She said, you remember back a couple years ago? She said, you probably don't remember this. I gave you a $20 bill. I did remember. And she said, it was all that I had in my pocket. And she said, Brother McVeigh, this is all that I have. And I hope this is a blessing. And she said, you looked at me and said, well, that'll get me a hamburger. You know what she said later on? Don't get all upset about that. I can sniff this stuff out. She said, I had more money than that. And she said, I was so mad when you said that. And I went home and I realized I could have given him a whole lot more than that. She gave us money that day, didn't she? On her death, I mean, literally days, weeks away from dying. Amen and amen. This is all that I got. Had a man told me the other day, my wife, bear witness, they said, I just don't have the money to give right now. I just don't have any cow. I want to be a blessing to people. I just don't have any way to give. I said, well, why in the world not? He said, well, I just had, my truck got stolen. I had to buy that vehicle. I said, well, okay, I guess that's a good excuse. He said, I mean, these prices are so high, I had to pay $93,000 for that truck. Am I lying? I'm not lying. I said, no wonder you're broke. Amen. I know he's not listening because he hates Facebook, so you don't have to worry about that. He's down there. He never helped anybody. Are you listening? He never helped anybody.
Right.
And he's down there living in riotous living. Everything that came in, he poured out for himself. Is everybody okay on that? You choking on that? It's what it says. He spent it on riotous living. He didn't help people out. He didn't be a blessing to others when they had need. He scoffed at the beggar. He scoffed at the poverty. He scoffed at the poor. And now in his pride, he's sitting in the hall of heaven.
Yep.
Yeah.
And no man would give to him.
Right.
I don't want to rehash it. I spoke of it last night. Sitting there in the nursing home. Never helped anybody. And complained because they leave a few dollars a month to live on. I'd rather give it all away. Get to a place where I have need to watch God take care of it.
Amen.
Then pocket it all.
Yep.
And when it came time for me to eat, I'm down there pretending like corn husks fill my belly. Is everybody okay on that?
Yeah.
He spent it on riotous living. Squandered it. Foolish. Could have had everything he needed. He walked by and kicked the beggar. Scoffed at the mother with the crying child. I have an inheritance. I have more than I need. You will reap what you sow. You rob God, you'll reap it. You steal from God, you'll reap it.
Yep.
That's right.
God gets his money. I said, God gets his money. Medical bills, automobile bills, washing machines, stoves. I used to give my tax return to missions. I'm not boasting, just stating a fact. If it's $2 or $4, you don't need to know. One year I got a sizable tax return, more than I was expecting. I'd already promised the Lord to give it to missions. I went, oh man, Bought this house. In my heart, I already determined I was going to try to use that money. So I did. $6,200 in a heat pump. He said, "Is your tax return that much?" Oh no, I wish it was. It wasn't even close to that. But I know one thing, I never promised the Lord to give and took it back from him again. I was sure wish I had to give him that little bit of amount as opposed to $6,200 into a heat pump, Pastor Hayden. Amen and amen.
Yeah. Right.
Don't let that bother you now. Now listen, don't let this choke. You know, life for heat pumps about 10 years. Those of you who don't know, New York, we know anything about that. We choked that thing to death. We ran into the ground. 16 and a half years. Kept that heat pump running. I'd kick it. I'd bang it. Last year, it got so bad, I was beating it with a broom handle trying to get the fan to turn on. Finally, I said, "You know, honey, we're probably just better get another heat pump." It was cheaper than the first one I bought 16 and a half years before that. God will get his.
Amen. Amen.
Down there, starving, pretending like everything's okay. I've listened to him on the streets, living under bridges, talking about going to college. Watched him down there, indigent, despised, society, and looking at him as a plight because they have no compassion. And I stand there and preach where they cursed us and mocked and scoffed. But I've also seen them little girls hooked on heroin come out there. Brother Harger was always like a big papa bear, 280 pounds of solid something. But one day we were down there preaching. The little girls were being sold out of them tents. And I had about enough of that. I just went and stood in the midst of the camp, probably 100 tents in Dark Park. But I preached everything. I preached stuff that wasn't in the Bible, stuff that wasn't in the Bible. If I was mad about it, I preached against it. Remember that little tent door opened up, that little teenage girl walked over there, needle tracks up and down her arm, hooked on heroin. She threw her arms around Brother Herbert. She hugged him and thanked him and said, "You remind me of my papa." Went on down the street. There's a young man that many, many years later reached out to us. So I'm down in Florida. On my way to Florida, I stopped at a church. He said, "I got saved reading those gospel tracts you gave me." He said, "I went to church for a little bit in Baltimore, but I was making my way to Florida and I stopped at a church in North Carolina." And he said, "I went to church there on that night," and he said, "I was getting ready to leave and they asked me about salvation. I told them I got saved and I showed them the church tracts and they said, 'We know that man, that's Pastor Herbert.'" And he got to Florida, he called. He said, "Pastor, I want to thank you. Those people for going on the streets every night in Baltimore for somebody like me." Get tired of filling your belly with them husks. Get tired of pretending like everything's okay. Get tired of pretending like everything's all right when it's not. And then verse 17. "And when he came to himself..." What does it mean to come to yourself? What have I done? What am I doing? It's like the adulterer the next day. What have I done?
Right.
It's like the thief the next day. What have I done?
Yes.
It's like the man who strikes his mother. What have I done? He came to himself. The riotous living's over. The drunkenness is gone. He has nothing. And he said, "Oh my goodness. I'm in a hog pen. I'm eating husks. And I could have so much more." He said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger." Now listen real close. Not because of famine. Not because he's in the hog pen. because God has brought him low.
Right.
Amen.
He disobeyed the word of God.
Right.
Amen.
That's why he perishes with hunger.
Yep.
But now there's hope. He sees there's hope. He knows his father can do more. He said, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Broken spirit, and broken and a contrite heart, God will not despise. You know when I got saved? When I said, I'm done.
Amen.
You say, is it that simple? Well, I didn't have to raise my hands. I didn't have to vocally say it. That's how simple it was. But in my heart, when I was done, God moved in.
Wonderful.
He brought me out of the hog pen. Took the husks out of my mouth and put bread in my mouth.
Amen.
Gave me a drink of milk.
Hallelujah.
Gave me some bread and honey.
Yeah.
Gave me cool water. Now, somebody helped me out. Gave me some parched corn, but that's a whole other message. Thank God for the corn. Amen and amen. That sustaining life. That he clothed. All he had to do was start the journey home. All he had to do was look towards his father's house. All he had to do was make that turn.
Right.
Probably one of the greatest verses in all the scripture. And he arose and came to his father. But he was yet a great way off. How far? It wouldn't matter.
Right.
Bible says it was a great way off.
Amen.
You say, if it's a great way off, how does Father see? Well, he was looking, that's why. Kind of like that cry I talked about the other night. Father knows his son. He saw that bedraggled, ragged man coming out of the hog pen.
Wow.
He looked across hill and vale.
Praise God.
In the early morning hours, he saw the misery and the woe, but you know what he also saw? He saw a familiar figure. And he said, that's my seed.
Amen.
That's the fruit of my loins. That's my son. And then he ran.
Amen.
He didn't run the other way. He ran to him.
Amen.
Yeah.
Listen, I wouldn't over-exaggerate. You don't have to when you picture it.
Mm-hmm.
He ran to him, and the word of God said this, and he had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him.
Amen.
And all the hog slop, all the filth, the stench, the raggedness.
That's right.
The father kissed his son.
Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Mm-hmm.
You got to get to the end of yourself.
You must.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Help,
sir. Oh, yeah.
Right. Got to get to the end of yourself. You're the greatest cry in English language of help. Simply, help. Help. The word of God, it's, I perish. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I have no help outside of you. Be merciful to me. And he looks, wiping the filth off his face and out of his eyes, and here comes his father. Now you can go read 2 Corinthians chapter 7 if you don't believe this. But he came to that place. He said, oh, what fear. And I always think of Ruth when Naomi tells her to go in there and lay down at his feet. Wash yourself, anoint yourself. Get ready for him. And go in there and lay down at Boaz's feet and cover yourself. But mark him. Know where he is. And I always pictured that little timid girl going in there, silently in the dark hour, to where Boaz lay. She's clean. She's anointed. And she slowly slides in at the feet of her kinsman redeemer. And he covers her. And I can see that son, that same condition. Will he accept me? Will he not accept me? Will he curse me? And the father falls on him, literally to bear his weight upon his son. And he weeps. And he kisses him. And this is what he said. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. Why the best robe? He's been saving it, that's why. I've talked about it here. I've said it before. I know I preached this at Anchor a couple years ago, but listen, it's never come out the same way twice. Old Lance Carpenter wrote that precious song. He speaks to that father, seeing that son a great way off, and running and falling upon his neck. And in that song, he says, son, come. And he writes the chorus like this, we've been setting your place at the table. And it was the first time I heard Brother Lance sing that song. And I remembered back when I came into the king's house, and I was perishing with hunger. And I was fain filling my belly with the husks that the hogs did eat. And I came up to that table like old Mephibosheth did. And I was crippled in my feet. But I slid up in that table, and there in front of me was a plate set for me with the bread of life. He'd been set in my place all along. That old boy come back to his father's house. That robe was ready for him. It was his. I believe that father had that robe hanging there. Said, one day when my son returns, I'll adorn him with the best I have. I'll give him the best I got. I'll do everything I can for him. He's my son. He's my seed. I love my son. If he would just return to me. He put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. His shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. Why? For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now, I know I'm smart enough. I read people pretty well, believe it or not. Some folks don't like that rejoicing, that shouting, all the hoopla. If you find that fatted calf, amen. We'd get real merry over you too, just like you know.
Amen.
I don't always shout for me. I look across this building and look at the faces of people I've labored over and prayed over. Watch their mamas weep over, watch their daddies weep over them. Watch the altars filled with parents begging God for their children. Some of you I've known going on 12, 13 years, pray for you. And to watch you wearing that robe and that ring.
Oh, amen.
And to see those shoes on your feet. I rejoice for you.
Yes. Amen. How could you not?
How could you not?
How could you not?
I'll tell you how you could not, Stephen. I'm going to answer that question because you got a cold, dead heart.
Oh.
And it doesn't faze you one bit. Because you're so cold and dead on God, it doesn't faze you that somebody gets saved. It doesn't faze you that God returns that prodigal home. It doesn't faze you that God grants mercy and God grants repentance. And that sinner's been converted. That person's not on their way to hell. They're walking in Jesus Christ. I am his and he is mine. Christ liveth in me. It is well with my soul. Amen and amen. I saw the cleansing fountain open wide for all of my sins. And you're so cold and so dead on God that it bothers you when people get excited about God. I'm glad you asked. Any other questions? I don't think they ought to act like that. Well, go down to St. Mary's. They don't act like that down there. You'll enjoy that. Amen. Get a little close to the incense pot.
Right.
Free wine. Free bread. Is that what you want? Might do some of you good, just get a little bit happy for somebody.
Sure.
You can't get happy about what God's done for you. Get happy about what God did for somebody else. I'm still pretty happy about what God's done for me, to be honest with you.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
It's been 27 and a half years. We pushed 28 years. Listen, I haven't fallen by the wayside yet, and I rejoice over that. I thank God for that.
Yeah.
Amen. Pressing on in Christ.
Hallelujah.
Hey, there's a time my feet did nigh well slip. I was almost gone, Pastor Hayne. Listen, I was distant and cold and indifferent like a lot of folks in here. And God pulled me back from that, brought me off a slippery slope, restored me again, led me in Christ, renewed me in the Spirit, filled me with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey!
Well, hallelujah.
He ought not do that. Okay, I act like you.
Oh,
that's nice.
Probably get twice the meetings I get. We sure appreciate it. Refined evangelist. You can take us to the bank. And I'm not being arrogant, I'm not being proudful, I'm not being cocky. There's about 30 people under the umbrella of our ministry got saved in the last 3 years.
Amen.
Hey, I got something to shout about, hallelujah.
Amen.
I got something to be excited
about.
Hey, I got something to be glad
about. God, hallelujah.
Amen. They got lives to back it up.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Whole lot of my family.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
Some of mine too.
Woo.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
But then here's the rest of you. Now, his elder son was in the field.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Keep speaking.
I didn't get a robe.
I did. I got one.
Sister Chelsea sent us that email the other day. I hope y'all didn't get it. I hope it was just for us.
Sorry.
It's Sammy out. Don't get too excited now. That was you. For the joy that was set before him, that was you. It brought joy to Jesus Christ. It filled his heart with joy to see you come to repentance, to see you submit to him, to see you washed and cleansed.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It brought the Son of God great joy.
Amen. Amen.
I don't think you ought to act like that in church. They go home and yell at their wife.
Right.
Go down to the football game and yell at the players.
Yeah.
Amen and amen all night.
Yeah.
Go down and listen to rock music and the church is too loud. You better check up if you can't get excited about somebody getting saved.
Hallelujah.
You got chapter and verse for that? The work of righteousness shall be peace.
Right.
The effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance forever. But that's not on your lips, that's in your soul.
That's it.
You see, outwardly I'm kind of loud, but inwardly,
just calm. Yeah. Amen.
The peace of God that passeth all understanding. You know, Paul said about that, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Amen.
Had a man reproved me quite a few years back. He said, when Jesus rejoiced in his spirit, that was an inward rejoicing. And listen, he was senior to me. He was elder to me. I wasn't going to mock him. But I'm telling you, inside of me, I was going, whoa! Hallelujah!
Amen.
You don't have to act like me. I reckon the prodigal did.
Sure he did.
You see, I was out there in sin. I was out there living my life, riotous living, destroying my soul. And God in his mercy brought me to himself. Okay, I want you to listen to me. Some of you seeking, I know you're seeking. I want you to listen real clear. When that prodigal took that first step, I believe the Father saw me.
Oh,
amen.
Oh, good. That's good.
Amen.
You say, can you prove that? Oh, yeah. So the Word of God said to this, come, all you that labor and are heavy laden. How you heavy laden? In the hall of pay.
That's right.
What's your labor? You're laboring to fill your belly with husks and it's accomplishing nothing.
That's right.
He said, come. He said, I will give you rest.
Amen.
He said, well, how'd the father go? Well, he ran to it. He said, my boy looks labored. My boy looks tired. My boy looks heavy laden. He fell on him, kissed him, brought him into his house, adorned him. One shower, one shave, one meal later, you couldn't separate him from the other son. Well, he's only been saved one day.
Hey.
Hey. You know, if you just got saved yesterday, just take your penny and enjoy it.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Right.
If you've been saved 65 years, take your penny and enjoy
it.
Yes.
Right.
Hallelujah. Well, let me tell you about this other son. He was in the field and he came into nine of the house and just didn't let this bother you. Heard music and dancing.
Woo!
I know it's not good. If it was good, I wouldn't be preaching. I wasn't dancing anyway. I'm from Appalachia. It's clogging. I wouldn't do that in church. You can save you might.
Right.
Walk with God, you might.
That's right.
And if you don't want to do it in church, do it in your kitchen.
Sure.
Care.
Sure.
Why don't you just be honest with God?
That's it.
You heard that music is dancing. He called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. He said to him, thy brother has come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. He was angry, would not go in. There came his father out and entreated him, and he answered him, said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again.
Amen.
He was lost. But you know what happened? The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. Can I say this? He's a real good seeker.
Yep.
And he found him. And he drew him. And he saved him. You say, well, I think the prodigal's a backslider. I don't care if he's a backslider. I don't care if he's a lost man. I don't care how you illustrate it. He was dead and is alive. Yeah. He was lost and is found. Kill the fatted calf. Play the music. Put on the robe. Get him a ring. Rejoice with us.
Amen.
For that sinner has been found.
Amen.
I want to be real clear. Lord laid this on me Tuesday. I said, Lord, how about tonight? He said, no. Lord laid this on me Wednesday. It wasn't a choice. Lord laid this on me last night. I said, Lord, tonight? He said, no. All afternoon, I've been thinking about that man down that hall pen. I said, Lord, how about tonight? And he said, have Pastor Haynes sing one more song. And then we sang two. Bob says go the extra mile, does it not? And the Lord let me preach the prodigal tonight.
Amen.
Now, you may not think it's providential. But if one of you would come home tonight.
Oh, amen.
We'll rejoice with you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's, amen.
You get saved tonight. Pastor Haynes going to run.
Amen.
Trying to help you out, brother. But is God drawing? Listen, I'm not talking about a proverbial altar call. I'm just talking, will you take that step?
Come on, Mike.
You done with yourself? Tired of pretending? Got this good life. Without God, it's no good.
Wouldn't hurt at all to go to that altar.
Wouldn't hurt a thing. Heard too many over the years that they took that first step and God took the second one with them. Heard many testimonies.
How strong were you now?
John Gart, he didn't even take a step. He just took one big old monkey-legged move and knelt right there.
Right here.
We're up here singing.
For about 2 hours.
And I watched him get up with joy on his face.
Amen.
Timothy was sitting right there.
Yep.
And I remember he stood up and just said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe. I went, he didn't get it. I was in my car. Pastor Asquith is at work. I've heard other stories. Kyle, you in your room, correct? The house. I've heard others in the room. Could be the altar. Could be in the pew. It could be in that first step. Glory be to God.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Well, McVeigh, for years, my wife went to every altar call because she was afraid if she didn't, God would be done to her. She was afraid if she hung back, maybe God would never be able to her again. Go up that altar call. End up getting saved in our car.
Amen.
And she wanted the Lord to know, I haven't given up on this thing.
Amen. Amen. Bojangles.
Yeah.
See, what does that have to do with anything? I don't go to Bojangles without thinking about Sister Ruth Ann.
Amen.
I don't. Hallelujah. I don't drive through Harrisonburg, Virginia without thinking of that day coming northbound on the other side of the interstate. First time in my life I came in contact with the Holy God.
Amen. Oh, Lord.
And he ran to me.
Amen.
And kissed me. You see, what is that kiss? Amen.